Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to ISGEC Heavy Engineering Company's Q2 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhineet Anand from Emkay Global. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Steven. Good afternoon, everyone. And on behalf of Emkay Global, I would like to welcome you all for Q2 FY22 earnings call of ISGEC. The management is being represented by Mr. Aditya Puri, Managing Director, Mr. S.K. Khurana, Executive Director and Company Secretary, Mr. Kishore Chatnani, Whole-time Director and CFO. We will have an initial opening remark regarding the results and recent outlook by Mr. Aditya Puri, post which we'll have the Q&A session. I hand it over to Mr. Aditya Puri for the opening remark. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on our earnings conference call. I hope that all of you and your loved ones are all well and safe. This is our seventh investor conference call, and we look forward to a fruitful interaction. We've also uploaded our presentation on BSE, NSE, and our website, www.isgec.com, earlier today. For the benefit of the new investors and analysts joining for the first time, I will give a brief introduction about our business. As you know, we are a diversified heavy engineering company engaged in manufacturing and process.
Sir, sorry to interrupt, but your voice is getting a bit muffled. If you can speak a little closer.
Okay. As you know, we are a diversified heavy engineering company. Is it better?
Yes, sir, this is better. Please carry on.
Yeah. So as you know, we are a diversified heavy engineering company engaged in manufacturing and project businesses. We manufacture process plant equipment, presses, and iron and steel castings. We execute turnkey projects for setting up boilers, power plants, air pollution control equipment, sugar plants, distilleries, factories, and bulk material handling facilities. We have also developed strengths in construction. We address the requirements of a wide spectrum of industries, mainly power, fertilizer, sugar and distilleries, oil and gas, automobile components, steel, cement, chemicals, railways, and defense. Our presence across multiple industries and geographies helps us to spread any sectoral or geographical risks. Let me now talk about our consolidated financial results for the second quarter of this financial year. The total consolidated revenue for Q2 of FY22 is rupees 1379 crores, which is about 2.5% higher compared to rupees 1352 crores for Q2 of FY21. The total consolidated revenue for H1 of FY22 is rupees 2513 crores, which is 3.5% higher compared to rupees 2426 crores for H1 of FY21. The consolidated EBITDA for Q2 of FY22 at rupees 50 crores is, however, lower compared to rupees 148 crores for Q2 of FY21. The consolidated EBITDA of H1 of FY22 at rupees 103 crores is also lower compared to rupees 244 crores for H1 of FY21. The consolidated profit after tax for Q2 of FY22 is rupees 10 crores as compared to rupees 78 crores for Q2 of FY21. The consolidated profit after tax for H1 of FY22 is rupees 24 crores as compared to rupees 120 crores for H1 of FY21. The profitability has been sharply lower due to A, impact of commodity price increase, B, time and cost overrun in EPC projects due to impact of COVID-related disruptions coupled with shortage of skilled manpower, C, sharp increase in freight cost both for purchase of materials and supply of goods to customers, and D, normal employee costs. As you know, last year we had salary cuts. The major impact is due to increase in the commodity prices. As you may know, steel prices for steel structures and fabrications are about 25% higher in H1 this year as compared to H2 of last year. Similarly, stainless steel item prices are 30% higher during H1 of this year compared to H2 of last year. There has been a sharp increase in the price of motors, cables, accessories, transport and electrical panels because of increase in copper and aluminium prices. With commodity price highs continuing, the future looks uncertain. We also face difficulties in having adequate skilled power at project sites in spite of offering higher compensation and arranging transport and other facilities. Some difficulty continues in the current quarter also. Travel has picked up compared to previous quarters and airfares have also gone up. Therefore, travel costs have also gone up compared to last year. As you know, last year we had salary cuts in ISJEC Engineering Limited and ISJEC Hitachi Zosen Limited, but we restored normal salaries in December last year. So salaries are higher for this quarter as well as half year. During H1, ISJEC Hitachi Zosen sales and profit was impacted as dispatch of some large equipment was deferred by customers as they could not arrange shipping. The equipment has been ready for some time now, and the customer has also paid full advance, but revenue and profits will be booked only after it is lifted and billed to the customer. In case of Saraswati Sugar Mill, the year is looking good. However, sales and profits have been lower during H1 as export quotas were completed in earlier quarters. Therefore, total sugar sales are lower. All of the above factors contributed to lower profitability. I will now talk about the order booking. The consolidated order booking for Q2 of FY22 is Rs. 849 crores compared to Rs. 1396 crores of orders booked in Q2 of last year. The consolidated order booking for H1 of FY22 is Rs. 3215 crores compared to Rs. 1922 crores for H1 of last year. The orders in hand as on 30th September 2021 are Rs. 7518 crores as against Rs. 6761 crores as on 30th September 2020. The order book position is very satisfactory. Of our consolidated order book, 80% is for the project business and 20% for the product business. The order book includes Rs. 926 crores for export orders, which is just over 12%. The order book for ISJEC Hitachi Zosen is also good. It has Rs. 537 crores of orders as on 30th September 2021. Order booking for H1 is good and the overall demand trend is encouraging as the inquiry position is very good. Of our order book, about 40% is from PSUs. These orders have price variation clause and the price increase for some of the materials can be passed on to the customers. For the rest of the book, we have fixed price contracts from customers. While we keep contingencies for unforeseen situations, such as increase in material cost, variation freight, and changes in design. However, given the unprecedented increase in material costs and labor costs for sites, and the extra time for project execution due to COVID-related disruptions, the contingency certainly have not proved enough. The situation will continue for some time as some of the longer duration orders presently under execution, which were booked before the increase in the commodity prices. For the new orders, we have taken into account higher contingency and margins on costs. Regarding the Cavite Biofuels ethanol project in the Philippines, we are on track to restart construction for the completion of the plant. We continue to think it's a good business and will be profitable to run, though we will keep the option of selling it when it is complete. We have given special emphasis on vaccinations and also organized some camps for vaccination at our offices and factories. 99.55% of the eligible manpower, our employees and contractor workers, have received the second dose. I and my colleagues will be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vishal Prasad from VP Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. I have two questions. So the first one is, if I look at what has happened in our Philippines project, we as a company must have had internal meetings discussing the issue. Could you share why did we get into such a situation? Could you also share the learnings, and is there anything we have done to avoid getting into such a situation in the future?
So as far as the Philippines project is concerned, we've been talking about it in the earlier conference calls, but the project as well as supplies are concerned was very much completed. In fact, more than 50%, more than 95% of the supplies were at the site. The company was basically, I don't want to say it, but it was a private equity company which decided to close its fund in the Philippines. And because this project was still a little while away, and they had made good money on their other projects, they decided to encash the bank guarantees and close the project. As far as they are concerned. So I think one learning is that we will not be going after projects which are purely private equity funded. It has to be a long-term promoter who will be in the project. As far as the project itself is concerned, yes, there might have been some weaknesses, or there were weaknesses from Insect side. But they were not significant. The main reason was that the person didn't want to run the project.
Right. So generally, when you look at private equity, they have a mandate of 6-7 years. That's the fund they raise, and then they have to return it back to the investors. So did we err in doing the due diligence while taking up the project?
So we did not err, but the point is that they made good money on their projects and decided to exit.
Okay.
And close the fund.
Okay. The second question that I have is, if I look at the company, I mean, for the last 10, 15 years, we have been very strong in manufacturing. But over the last 10 years, we have primarily focused on EPC and manufacturing is at the same level where it was a few years back. So could you share your thought process behind we not looking for getting into new domains or getting some building some capability in new areas in manufacturing?
Yes, yes, I can certainly share. So we've been doing marginal investments to increase the manufacturing capacity. And as in when demand is picking up, I have to say that the manufacturing facilities are pretty full. So certain expansions that we had done spent marginal amounts of money. So therefore, you may not know about them. There were marginal amounts, but some increase in turnover for next year from manufacturing can certainly be expected. And we as a group are also looking at investments in manufacturing so as to increase the manufacturing output.
Okay. And the last question is on EPC. So generally, I mean, in our country, there are a few good years and then the EPC contractors, they suffer because of one reason or other. We have been generally prudent with our projects, but when you think about risk, what kind of risk do you think and how do you try to mitigate it so that we don't get into a situation where we are into a soup?
So as far as risks are concerned for any project which is above a certain size, and that size is not very large, we look at a lot of risks, including we look at a lot of factors, including the financial status of the potential buyer or the potential customer, let me put it that way. his financial arrangements, our technical capabilities, our engineering capabilities, our capability to execute the project within the costing of the project, the timelines of the project, and if there are any technological risks associated with the project. Is it a repeat sort of project? Is it a new project? We look at that, and we also then keep a contingency for unknowns. But the sort of hike that we are seeing the project business, in the commodity business, and EPC is a lot dependent on commodities, has been quite unprecedented and has been quite, we could not have foreseen it.
Right. So, sir, whatever has happened in the past with other companies, so is there anything that we have learned from them and we have implemented in our company so that we don't get into a problem?
So one of the things that we have implemented is quicker implementation of the projects and to do more engineering upfront so that ordering can be done very fast after the project is awarded. And to monitor the projects very closely, and to be very clear on certain clauses that that customer delays will cause delays to us, and they need to be compensated by the customer.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants: anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Dipesh Agarwal from UTI AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. So my first question is, by when do you expect this commodity headwind to be behind us in terms of margin?
So, you see, the point is that we are taking orders on the basis of new commodity pricing. We're keeping a slightly higher contingency also. But this commodity price hike is happening. How long it's sustained for, we cannot say at this point in time. So the orders that we are taking, we've taken in Q2, are based on higher commodity pricing. But I hope there is not yet another shock that might happen. So. I would say that it would take a little while, one or two quarters for it to at least one or two more quarters for it to stabilize.
So would it be fair to say FY23 should be a normal year for us in margin, and we could be doing something like 8.5% yes. or 9% margin out there?
It should be a normal year. It should be a normal year. Yes.
Okay. So second question was, actually, if I look at your ordering for the quarter, this seems to be a quite weak number, especially when there was a strong ordering momentum in the industry for your segment. Any particular reason for your market share loss on ordering?
No, I don't. The ordering, the order book in Q1 was huge. For a lot of these EPC contracts and other contracts, you give the bid and the prices could be opened much later. The price bids could be opened much later. So we have taken orders on the basis of our comfort level to execute the projects. And we have enough orders in all our segments to execute comfortably for the foreseeable future. So it's been a conscious decision to keep order booking slightly lower in this quarter.
Okay. And sir, lastly, actually, since last couple of quarters, you have been highlighting that you will start a construction on the Philippines project again. So what are the timelines in terms of starting of the construction and completion of the project? And also, can you share with us what is your balance sheet exposure to this project from a consolidated level? Because when I see capital employed of this under construction project, that's just 110 crores. So just figuring out what is the total exposure for this project.
Okay, so as far as the Philippines project is concerned, as I had said last time, and between last time and this time, the change is that COVID continued in the Philippines. In fact, a lot of our own employees, including the head of our unit, was impacted by COVID. So that's why things got delayed. But we do hope that in the next 30 to 45 days, we would be able to start construction. And the timelines are that after we start construction, 10 to 12 months, we should be able to complete it.
Okay.
And Kishore, if you want to... Yeah.
Yes, let me tell you. So you were asking about the balance sheet. Our annual report gives a breakup there. But I can just tell you, as of 31st of March, the value of the plant under construction is about 726. But if you are asking about our exposure, the standalone is owed about 254 crore rupees by this company, Cavity Biofuels.
That is sitting in receivables, right?
That's sitting in receivables, that's right.
Okay, so 726, of which 254 is receivables, and you would be having some debt on this project, right?
Yes, we do have some $38 million worth of debt.
Understood. And what would be the final price after completion of this from this 726 crore expected price?
That is a function of the market. If we did not have COVID, we would have hold it long back. Now we are still exploring the market. So ideally, we would like above $100 million, but it has to be seen when it will depend on when we are able to sell it. Which means if it gets sold before the construction starts or after the construction starts or when it's completed, it can really be dependent on those three situations as to when we can find a serious buyer.
Understood. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shruti Nayak from Blaze Consultant. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I wanted to ask, how has been the performance of Hitachi Zosen and Canadian entity in this quarter?
So Hitachi Zosen has not... okay, let me put it to you this way. The financial figures of Hitachi Zosen has not been good, and the primary reason for that has been that three major customers have not been able to ship out the goods. The goods are ready, we've been paid for, but they've not been able to ship out the goods, and therefore the revenue and the profit has not been booked. So that is regarding Hitachi Zosen. And as regards Eagle also faced problems because of the slowdown in the automobile sector, not because of demand, but because of a shortage of chips in North America. But so there was a small loss in this quarter. But going forward, we do not expect any. We expect positive EBITDAs.
Thank you so much, sir. And another question is, like, what would be our market share in this sugar distillery business in domestic market?
Maybe about 15% or so.
All right. And one more last question, sir. Like, can you throw some light on our initiative on the green side? Like, so how we are looking at turning the company into a more greener company? And are we looking at fuel cells, hydrogen, or some greener technology?
Yeah, we are evaluating. We are evaluating fuel cells. We are evaluating energy storage in various forms. We are evaluating all that. The technological developments, you hear about it a lot in the newspapers, but where to position is just, we are working on that.
Perfect, sir. Thank you so much and all the best for the future quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Yachana Bhatia, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, yeah.
So my question was basically coming back to this commodity price increase. You know, what we had understood from the last call was that Q1 was a substitute quarter, and you know, by next quarter and for the rest of the year, we were expecting to come back to 12-13% kind of margins in the manufacturing segment and 7-8% in the EPC segment. But Q2 again has been subdued, and from what I hear on the call today, it is likely to be so for the rest of the year. So my question was that, you know, one, on the fresh orders that you are booking right now, how are you placed in terms of any future commodity price hikes? Because if we are indeed in a commodity super cycle as it is being called, you know, then we are going to run into a similar problem next year as well. And my second question was that on the existing orders itself, what we hear from other companies is that, you know, they have other companies in the sector, but they have been able to renegotiate the order terms with the customers and at least partly able to pass on the commodity increase. So why isn't that the case for us as well?
So I'll answer your second question first. We are also trying to renegotiate with customers, but we have not taken any credit for that, and I'm not sure you know how much success we'd get over there. It also depends upon customer to customer, but I don't know how many customers actually renegotiate a fixed price contract. And as far as the commodity price cycle is concerned, I understand that this cycle may continue for a while. So we are being cautious to take orders at higher margins, keeping higher contingency. But there is no guarantee, to be frank, about, you know, the extent of the hike. People are saying that it's probably leveled out now, or there are going to be only very marginal increases before there's going to be a fall. But they, but one never knows. Never knows how it's going to be. So this is a real problem in the capital goods sector that we are grappling with, frankly. So this is a problem. But as of now, the new orders that we are taking are at an increased price and covering the ice that map.
So are you saying that the new orders continue to be fixed price, and if there was such an increase in commodity, we'll be in a similar problem again?
So we have started asking customers, and some customers have agreed to steel price escalation in the contracts. But it's going to be, the private sector is going to change slowly for it, slowly. And but wherever possible, we are trying to get these clauses incorporated.
Okay. And just a last clarification. So Q3 and Q4, you expect margins to be subdued only?
Q3, yes, certainly. Q4, I can't say just now, but Q3, yes.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Aryan Mehta from Mehta Consultant. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Can you throw some light on what are the kinds of segments or industry from where we will see good order inflows? And also, which of them would be lagging?
So, lagging could possibly be automobiles. Automobiles is one which is likely to lag. But power, steel, cement, railways, I think these are the segments. And actually, all metals. These are the segments, I think, where growth can possibly come from.
Okay. And how is the order booking for the FGD segment going on? Can you share some details or numbers on that?
FGD segment, we haven't had any major order in the last quarter, but there are inquiries for air pollution control equipment and which may be FGDs or maybe some derivative of other pollution control equipment, which are likely to be finalized soon.
Okay. And also coming to like the government and private sector, so how do you see a mixed change as private capital expenditure is expected to increase with like the economy is growing? So your views on that?
I think private will sort of, I'm not saying dominate, but the ratio will probably, private sector investment should improve. The share of private sector investment should improve.
Okay. And my last question would be related to joint venture. So, I mean, in the current year, how do you expect them to perform?
We expect for the year end, we expect them to perform reasonably well. Eagle may show a slight loss for the year end, but otherwise, all of them should perform well.
Okay, noted. Sure. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Goyal from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir. On continuing on the order pipeline, would you be able to quantify, like, how big is the order pipeline in value terms, and which are the larger segments within that?
So, you know, the order pipeline is good from power, steel, cement, railways. It's also good for from oil and gas refineries. There are a lot of inquiries from there. The inquiry flow is pretty large at this point in time. Kishore, would you just like to add anything here?
Sir, fertilizer? Cement?
Fertilizer. Yeah.
Okay. No, sir, what I was trying to probably try to get a perspective was in terms of value terms, how would you see that, the pipeline order value, and how would it compare with the last year? Like, just to get a sense that what kind of growth is there in the order pipeline.
So right now, our order book, if the figures are right, is about 1,000 crores more than at the end of the year, right, Kishore?
Order book, right, sir, but he's probably wanting to know about the pipeline. So
pipeline is also, I would say, would be about 10-15% higher than the corresponding period of last year. The pipeline is higher, and pipeline in terms of inquiries from exports have also gone up.
Yeah, in fact, that was my follow-up question because, sir, in recent past, we have been seeing that export order book as well as export revenue has been on declining curve. So
right.
Do we see that going forward, like for the export?
So going forward, we see in the next couple of quarters, maybe beginning Q4. Already we booked some export orders, but beginning Q4, I think the momentum should catch up as more and more countries are allowing us to enter now, including the U.S. and a lot of other countries. So we are just in the process of now beginning to send our people abroad for marketing efforts. So, for instance, we've posted one person to Southeast Asia because it's very difficult for us to for people to commute. So we've now stationed somebody there. And for the other areas also, we will be coming out, we're deciding a strategy as to, or we've decided a strategy as to how to increase exports.
Right, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Ankit Sancheti from Kotak Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Two questions from my side. The first question is regarding your order book. you mentioned that 40% of orders do have a price variation clause, but
mm-hmm.
typically even those orders will not be sufficient, and we have seen in the past that even with price variation clause, there is still something which is not covered and one needs to absorb that. And on top of it, you have 60% contracts which are fixed price contracts. So
mm-hmm.
while we can't do about the backlog, but strategically speaking, over next couple of years, do you want to change that mix to a more dynamic model where we can have more price variation clause orders, or the structure of industry doesn't allow you to change the mix and it will remain, and ultimately we have to bear either the benefit or the cost of RM?
Yeah, so you know, your point is valid. Your second point is valid, that you know, do we want to change? Yes, we would like to minimize our risk. But so there are two spectrums to it. One spectrum to it is that projects which you would have normally taken under normal circumstances, you would have taken. Right now, some of those projects you do not take because you think that the risk reward is not in your favor. And the other thing is that you try and get customers to incorporate escalation clause in their contract. But this is, as you said, the buying behavior of the buying behavior of the customer and the selling behavior of people like us has to change. And so we've started doing it. We've got some success, and hopefully more our competitors will also ask for it, and you know, we may be able to persuade our customers to accept it.
Okay, and just trying to understand on the order backlog itself, 20% are typically equipment order is what you mentioned. Is that right?
Yes, product. Yes, you're right.
So at least on those orders, we would have been able to minimize the impact, because at least in those orders,
there is some impact, but it is less. It is less. The impact is less on those orders. Also because
the execution cycle is lower for those orders, equipment orders you make and sell.
Execution cycle is also lower. And because there is a lot of manufacturing involved in it, the material cost as a percentage of the order is also lower.
Okay. My second question was with respect to, and it is just trying to understand how the reporting happens from an accounting perspective. So when I see your consolidated results, obviously we are going to start constructing that ethanol plant. So just trying to understand, if I look at the segment revenue, there is a 13 crores of negative value which is attributable to that plant in this quarter. And then the segment results reports 17 crores of negative EBIT because of that. So how does the accounting happen for this plant? Because progressively, once we start constructing this plant, are we going to incur, continue to provide for losses for the same till the time it is eventually sold out? Or ideally, can we capitalize this plant and then book a net profit or loss at the end, whether it gets sold or it doesn't get sold? So just trying to understand from an accounting perspective how this is going to shape up in next few quarters till the time your execution of construction of that plant happens. Thanks.
So let me answer that, please. So firstly, presently construction is not going on, but there are certain expenses which are being incurred relating to salaries of some people we have there, then security and safety, insurance, and those kind of expenses are there, which we are charging off to some of that loss that you're talking about is because of that. The other major part of the loss is because of the change in the exchange rate between Philippine peso to dollar to rupee and so on. So that can come, you know, positive or negative. But you are right, once we start completing the plant, we are going to capitalize whatever further investments are made for in plant and machinery and construction. And because today there is no construction happening, so even the salaries and all the other overheads that we are incurring, we are charging to P&L. We are not capitalizing that. I hope I'm able to.
So it partially answered my query, but just extending that point, so if I look at the last quarter, the June quarter, we had minus 6 crores of or a loss of 6.5 crores. And this quarter, it has increased to 17.5 crores. So the employee cost, the salary cost, and all
that. As I mentioned to you, it is largely forex variation.
Okay, it's largely forex variation.
It's an accounting loss. It's not actually a cash loss. It's an accounting loss.
Okay, and second question is on unallocated expenses. Again, they have increased materially on a QOQ basis from 2 crores to 14 crores. What I'm missing here?
Pardon me, you'll have to help me understand what is it that you're talking about.
So I'm just trying to understand what has led to such a sharp jump in unallocated cost on a quarter-on-quarter basis from 2.5 crores in Q1 to 14.5 crores.
I'm not able to correlate what exactly you are talking about from the results. Which page of the results you are looking at?
So I am looking at page number 16, the segmental reporting which happens on which we have
for this quarter
expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. For this quarter only, for Q2 FY22.
Okay. Maybe you can give me a few minutes to look at that and come back. So maybe we can answer that question a little later in the call.
Sure. That's all from my side. Thank you very much. Thank you.
A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Anshul Sehgal from Kotak AMC. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Regarding the raw material cost impact that we have spoken of during the call, if we look at the EPC business, that's a long cycle business, while the manufacturing business is a short cycle business.
Mm-hmm.
And even in manufacturing, on a year-on-year basis, as also on a quarter-on-quarter basis, we are seeing a meaningful impact on margins. Now, while in EPC, one can understand that it's long cycle, so and plus we have fixed price contracts, so there will be variation. But in manufacturing, is it only raw material or there is also other costs which have gotten added?
No, it's basically raw material and also manufacturing is also, if you see the half-yearly results, it's also impacted because the turnover was lower because of COVID and oxygen not being available and all those other factors. So as the turnover has started picking up in the second quarter, and Q3, Q4, the turnover should be good. So at least the overhead absorption will be better, and to that extent, margins will be better. Steel price hike again, it's unpredictable, but overhead recovery would be much better in Q3 and Q4.
How much of our contracts in manufacturing are fixed price? Do we have some room to pass on raw material costs?
Manufacturing, unfortunately, everything is fixed price. Manufacturing is fixed.
And as we book an order, we don't book back-to-back our raw material?
So, our policy is that as you book an order, you try and order as quickly as possible. But what happens is that a certain amount of engineering has to be done before ordering can be done. So that time lag is there. But as soon as the engineering is completed, which, as I said earlier, also we are trying to expedite, we order.
Okay. The question arose mainly because of the timeline of execution of these orders, which is probably under 12 months, maybe even 8 to 10 months, and still there is a significant impact. So that's really where I was coming from. Anyways.
So I'll just answer that question for you also. Like all our products in manufacturing, or let me put it 95% or between 90 and 95%, are all engineered to order. There is nothing that that we can. There's a very small segment where we can keep stock, or we know what to exactly order on the day we get the order, and just say that the quantity is increased from just order this much. It doesn't happen that, unfortunately.
Yeah. Got it. My second question is that of our 8600 crore revenues in EPC, how much is would boiler be about this is 867 crores. Of that, would boilers be about 200 220?
Something like that.
Now, in which case, that means that in the EPC we've incurred a significant loss. Would that be a fair assumption on account of raw material? Because I'm assuming that in boilers, we would be making somewhat similar to manufacturing margins. And what that means is that in EPC, given that we have only about 1% EBIT margins in EPC, in the actual EPC business, we would have incurred a significant loss.
So boilers we do not manufacture more than 15% of the boiler. The rest is all like any other project. It's not that the boiler is manufactured in Yamnagar or in any of our manufacturing units. Some pressure parts are done, but the rest is all outsourced.
Correct, but it's all fabrication, right? Like the pressure vessels which we have in manufacturing. So it would be more or less all fabrication. And in manufacturing, we are even at this time making 8% margins.
So those pressure vessels are the only thing that we manufacture, which is about 15% of the value of the boiler. The rest are not fabrications. Those are all bought out. It could be fans, motors, structures, erections, civil, all those.
Okay. And so you're saying that even on that count, there has been a price escalation which has not been passed on to the
eventual.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's not like manufacturing. It's not like that we are manufacturing the old boiler.
Okay. No. And my final question, can you just throw some light on the future technologies, say batteries, hydrogen, etc.? What is the strategy on that?
Because I
read in the annual report that we are targeting some of these technologies, and we are actually kind of working around a strategy on these technologies.
Right. So we are looking at what value add hydrogen could provide, or batteries, or energy storage of other forms other than batteries. Then energy saving. Investments in energy saving. The way the buying behavior is going to change, because at sites it's becoming very difficult to work. So are people going to do more work in shops? So we are looking at that. How is digitization going to affect our products? We are looking at it, and we'll have to place Isjek at the right place, right thing, because a lot of these things are very nascent the world over also, and so we cannot be paying a very high amount to get a technology which the world is not very sure of. So But we are regularly having technology meetings to see what's going on in the world and where we can place ourselves.
All right. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishit Shah from Equitas Wealth. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Sir, I want to understand this point about shortage of skilled labor. So how are we dealing with this and what kind of cost increase are we seeing over here?
So we are very proactively trying to get labor, organized transport, organized vaccinations if they've not been vaccinated before they come to the site. So labor which used to be generally available, contractors who used to have labor, we are seeing that suddenly, people have got used to staying at their native places and less number of them are willing to come to site to work. So basically, we are seeing, I can't quantify the number for you right now, but we are seeing that we have to pay people more, we have to get more people to make up for the lost time, and generally speaking, this scarcity has and will create some problems in the times to come.
So, is it improving?
It's improving. It is improving. It is definitely improving.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Digant Haria from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
My question is, sir, in terms of, see, we are running full on order book and probably, we are seeing the worst of commodity inflation and labor inflation. So can it be the case that maybe next 12 months, we just operate at very low EBITDA margins and, negligible profits? That's my question number one. And question number two is that in the new orders, what kind of inflation are we building? If let's say the steel prices and everything goes up even more from here and, we bid orders based on today's steel prices, maybe even the future order books, we don't see meaningful accretion to our EBITDA or profit. These are two questions from my side. Thank you.
So this is really a dilemma that we are also facing, and therefore we are being a little more selective in booking orders. So one thing is to say that, you don't book orders now. Let the cycle stabilize and then we'll see what to do. But I don't think that is a very prudent strategy to adopt. So there is a little bit of risk involved in taking orders at this point in time. But we are hopeful that the commodity price hike. There is a tipping point when the economy will not be able to sustain these, or the world will not be able to sustain these commodity price hikes. There is no very clear explanation as to why it is happening to the extent that it is happening. Is it just pent-up demand after the pandemic and that's causing it, or is it because of the excess liquidity that various governments have pumped into the economy? Once that effect weans out, commodity prices will fall. So, nobody expected them to rise this fast. Nobody's talking about a fall right now, but it might fall also. So, while the next one or two quarters remain a little uncertain, my own feeling is that this cycle should reverse itself soon. But that is just my own personal gut feel. But okay. Yes, there is an element of risk in taking orders right now.
Right, sir. So, just one follow-up to this, that, let's say commodity inflation and labor inflation both is not in your hands. You cannot be held for it in any way because it's not in your hand. But let's say that, if both of these things stabilize in the future, has our operations and has our learning and our execution skills improved in most of our areas that we can see 6% EBITDA margins in EPC business and maybe 10-12% in our products business if these two external factors were to stabilize?
Yeah, things will certainly improve. Certainly improve. And as far as the labor price inflation is concerned, it's more this thing at sites at remote locations because people do not want to leave where they are. As far as our factories and all are concerned,
we are not facing any significant inflation or shortages of labor.
Okay. That's why I get it, that if things improve, we will see those 6% and 12%, which we generally is our objective.
We've seen things improve. The margins improve, yes. The margins improve, yes.
Okay, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shruti Naik from Bliss Consultant. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So just saw that your working capital has elongated due to higher share of government, sector orders. So what is your thought process on the same, and will the working capital decline in future?
So Kishore, would you like to answer this?
Yes. Yes, ma'am, your observation is right. We have more working capital now because of higher PSU orders. So earlier, if you remember, maybe about 2 quarters ago, the order book was 50%, nearly 50% was from PSUs. The percentage of order book from PSUs has declined to about 40%. But there are certain projects, most of these projects, the payments are linked to milestones. So even though we spend money in cement, steel and all the other materials supplied to the sites, the payments become due once we complete certain milestones. So as of now, we have certain projects which are large value projects and which are at an advanced stage of implementation, where these milestone payments have become very large. So in normal terms, we would not have taken the same payment terms from private customers. But from PSU companies, we certainly know that the money is there with them and they will pay. So there is no issue about safety, but yes, there is the situation where we are borrowing from banks. Of course, all the interest costs were always factored in. We knew that when we took those projects that there will be some amount of cash flow, some amount of working capital increase. Of course, because of this COVID and some stretch on these in project implementation timelines, that got a little more pronounced.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shiva Musumala, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. This is Shiva.
Hello.
Yeah, my question is related to that, these ethanol, which I think, is supposed to start from end of November. So what is the revenue and profitability expected in this quarter from that ethanol plant? And the second question is regarding the margins, like what kind of margins we are expecting in Q3, maybe similar to Q2? Or maybe, our performance may be, EBITDA may be improved in this quarter. Q3 may be slightly better than Q2.
Q3, I will not be able to tell you exactly, but as far as the ethanol plant is concerned, the plant is all ready. We are just waiting for one excise license to come, which we expect should come soon. Kishore, can you help me with the revenue? We will not be able to tell you the profit. But the revenue from 1 month operation
for the that's right. So for the ethanol plant, which will start hopefully soon, maybe in about 2 weeks time, and this quarter will be very small for that plant. So we would not really expect any revenue this quarter.
Maybe a quarter. Like, how much maybe from the next year onwards we could expect?
Yearly revenue is about 200 crores.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sir, regarding margins, you said like Q3 might not be similar to Q2, and maybe Q4 onwards we could see some improvement.
Yeah, we are hopeful to see some improvement, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yajna Bhatia, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hi.
So my question was that, you know, the commodity price inflation is something which is affecting the entire sector. But if I look at the operating margins last 2 quarters, you know, we are at the lower end of the range. The rest of the sector is largely, you know, starting from 6-7% till 12-13%. So why is it so that, you know, we are more affected compared to the rest of the sector? Wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
So we have done more work in the EPC segment than we've been in the past few years. And also, as I said earlier, that we got into some new businesses which were new on the learning curve, like FGDs and other businesses. And the new orders in these segments are at better margins. So we do hope that barring commodity price increase, we would be able to perform better.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for being here. And thank you for attending the conference. And we do look forward to virtually meeting you again after the third quarter. Thank you and stay safe.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of IHGEC Heavy Engineering, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thanks.